Brian Edwards Tiekert. I'm the chair of the committee. I'm going to ask our secretary, R. Paul Martin, to please call the roll.
Okay. Jim Boyd.
Here.
Lydia Brazan.
Here.
Adriana Kasanov. Brian Edwards Tiekert.
Here.
Marcus Jeter. R. Paul Martin, here. Tony Norman.
Present.
Michael Novick.
Present.
Menesha Saba. Raul Salvador.
Present.
Barbara Wipperman.
Here.
We have eight. That's a quorum.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary. I sent out an approved a proposed agenda about 20 minutes ago. Does anyone want to propose adopting it?
Ms. Jim, would it adopt?
Would it be good to read this over the screen for people? Or
sure. One, roll call. Two, agenda approval. 3 minutes approval. I'm not going to read the sub-items. Four, budget review with itemized budgets. And then five is our executive session. I heard a motion from Jim Boyd to adopt that agenda. Does anyone else want to propose modifications to it? Hearing no amendments, is there any objection to the agenda? Hearing no objection, the agenda is adopted. We are on to minutes approval. Just minutes ago, our secretary sent out minutes for, is it September 9th?
Yes.
Okay. Paul, can I ask you, when you send them out, can you also paste them in or attach them to your email? I may be the only person, but I have great difficulties when I'm using a computer that hasn't memorized my Yahoo Group's login.
Well, actually, this is something to propose to the group, I guess, because over time it will, you know, end up with various different people getting their emails filled up with these extra things. So what does the group want?
I vote to do what Brian's asking.
I'm having some problems as well uploading or kind of connecting to the link.
Yeah.
A couple of times.
Ditto, Lydia.
In any case, we've got what we've got. I just reset my password and got in, so I can send these out to the list. I just hit send on that email. Okay. Does anybody want to move adoption of these minutes?
I move to approve the September 9th minutes.
Does anyone have any proposed amendments to these minutes? Oh, there's a big paraphrase of a report in here, isn't there? I would actually like to entertain a motion to postpone these till our next meeting so that folks can look them over.
So moved.
Barbara Wipperman moves to postpone. Any objection to postponing? You're right, the minutes of September 9th are now postponed. And thank you for your work getting them together. R. Paul, I certainly appreciate the level of detail. Next on our agenda is review of the second version of the Pacifica Radio Archives budget, which has been sent to us by Brian DeShazer. Brian DeShazer is with us on the phone call. Brian, can you walk us through what changes have been made to the budget?
Sure, let me pull up the right document. Okay, so from the as an overall statement, I just wanted to say that from last year's budget to this year's budget, we have cut $64,000. The numbers don't show as clear as that because we have additional grant money that makes the numbers change. But if I deduct the difference between the grant number last year to this year plus the cataloger, it adds up to $64,000 cut. So, changes from the last time, we added the columns from the 2013 budget and the actuals, so it's a little bit more clear for you. And in revenue, we added some revenue for community events, about $6,000, because I have done some work here at KPFK and with Michelle Price Johnson at WPFW in coming up with a couple events to promote the women's project from the NHPRC, which is, this is our second and last year of the project. Reductions in expenses from 2014. So in the salaries related...
Sorry, Brian, can you just clarify? The column says budget 2014. Is that your budget figures or your actual figures from 2014?
Let's see. Have you got three columns? Budget 2013, FY14 budget?
The columns are labeled budget 2013, budget 2014, and then finally fiscal year 2015.
Okay. I think we sent that second one out the other day, Brian, with Hat, that did have the third column of FY 2014 actuals.
Okay. Maybe I pulled up the wrong email.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, so we did add the third column.
Version 3 or something else? Is that one of those version 3, I think? Is that what you're talking about? Am I audible?
Version 3 is what I forwarded 2 days ago. Let me pull it up. Okay. This does have an additional column. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Okay, so now let me go back to the other one. Notes. All right, so we added those columns. All right, so now we're going into the salaries and related. We cut 14,301 from 2014 and 3,000 from the actual. We're splitting, so we have a big reduction, even though we are adding a temporary cataloger for just this year dedicated to the NHPRC project. We're splitting the business manager time with KPFK 75-25, three-quarter time with the archives and 25 with KPFK to help Napoleon in orientation and assisting that business manager. We also, as I was saying, we added the temporary full-time cataloger to complete the NHPRC required performance objectives. So that's the salary cuts. Consultants, we cut $3,000. That's mostly Addie Gevins, who's our mentor consultant for longer than I've been here, actually, more than 25 years. She helps us get grants and is our coordinator and is prior to us getting actual archivists on site, Addie was the MLIS degreed person who allowed us to get grants from the NEA and the Grammy Foundation. So a lot of her work is being funded by the NHPRC, so we cut some of that consultation. Okay, so conferences. We cut about $1,700 from the FY 2014 actual. I won't be attending the NFCB conference, which is the National Federation of Community Broadcasters, in favor of the archivists presenting at the professional conferences such as the Society of American Archivists and the California State Archives Conference.
Could I ask for line numbers on some of this?
Sure. All right, so back to the salaries. That's line 6,000.
Could you give us Excel spreadsheet ones, because they're fast.
All right, that's making me have to flip from a Word document back to the Excel document. I'll give it a shot.
That's 44.
90.
All right, I'm giving it a shot here. Hang on a second. All right, so that's 6,000. Sorry, guys, I am have to flip back and forth and just make sure the screen is
ready. That's 44 on the spreadsheet.
Okay, now I'm there with you. All right, so the 44. All right, so so that's 6,300, which is line 53 on your page, is the consultant cut that I was talking about. we cut $3,000, so now we're at $5,000 instead of $8,800. Conferences is $6,571. Hell's bells, I don't see that one. That's actually down. Conferences and training is line 82. So that one we're cutting, because we're cutting one of the conferences. All right, so computer maintenance, we cut $2,000 from the actual, from this year's actual. That is line
74, I got that, okay.
Thank you. This is like a game show. Hang on. All right, so that's it for... Oh, and then advertising and promotions reduced $5,700 from the 2014 budget. Advertising and promotion. That is like a membership to an email blast company that I've been using for many years, and I just worked with KPFK to share theirs, so I just cut a big chunk out of that, like $5,700. All right, so that was for the reductions. Now just to three increases or additions to the budget from previous years. Legal, which is $6,900.
Hello?
Yes, can you still hear me? Hello?
It sounded like it went dead for a minute. I can hear you now.
Yes, okay. Mine too.
Okay, sorry, that wasn't me. All right, so I think we were at legal... where there was an increase, there it is, settlement legal, line 77. We didn't have any money in that line at all. We usually don't have legal issues unless it comes up with copyright. This coming year, we're working towards clearing some copyright and registering materials for the Library of Congress so that we could actually entertain offers for marketing and licensing and bundling them. So we're working with John Krigler's office to do some of those items and working actually with Philip Glass's record company to release a rare recording we have of Einstein on the Beach that I just discovered. So that's where the $2,000 increase comes from. And then the fund drive expense. So I'm putting an extra $6,000 increase from 1918 FY 2014 actual to $6,000 for this year. Being that we are having to really focus on these 2 days in November as our big chunk of money for the rest of the year as we sort of work with the stations for everything else. We really wanted to make sure that we have enough in promotions, enough for advertising, maybe getting an ad in the newspaper, or getting an actual producer to help us with 2 days. When it's 2 days, 48 hours straight, the archive staff of seven people can't do it. We actually did do it 1 year, and it was not good. So that's the reason why I'm sort of increasing the expenses for the fund drive to actually let us reach our goal. The year that we did have a little higher expenses, we have done $280,000 in 2 days, and this year we're being more realistic because of everything at $155,000 for 2 days. The third day of fundraising in either March or April, we did have a conversation with the group of general managers today, and nobody opposed the 3 days that we're proposing. And then the last item I think I see is direct mail. We are reduced $6,000 from 2014 budget, but it's actually an increase from this year's actual. And that is when we decided to do, last year we were going to do a direct mail letter, but with all of the chaos, it never actually panned out. But we did do a small test run with renting email lists from The Nation magazine, Mother Jones, and Ms. magazine. We only did The Nation last year. We put in $5,000 and made $14,000 back. So this year we're increasing the expenses to $14,000 and hoping for a revenue of $40,000. So that's the reason for the increase in the direct mail. And that's the end of my list for changes since the last version of the budget.
Okay, I'll take a stack on questions.
I'm sorry, Adriana, I came in a few minutes ago, Adriana KPFT, just to let you know I didn't want to interrupt the meeting, okay? That's it. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Adriana. Anyone for stack?
All right, I'll go first.
Go ahead,
Arpal.
Very fast. So the your bottom line is you're going to come in with a surplus of $29,000, right?
Right.
And all right. Okay, that's it for me right now.
Brian, your 2014 actuals, for listener support, how many days of fundraising was that?
That was four. That was two in November, which were only 15 hours long, not all the way around. Then we did one in April, which was only four of the five stations. And then we did one in August, which was only three of the five stations. So both of those second days were sort of last minute. We didn't have enough payroll. Nobody was coming up with central services, so it was almost considered an emergency drive. We definitely didn't have a lot of time to prepare for it. Like the archive staff, I think at one point only had 2 weeks to produce an all-day fundraiser. So we were disappointed throughout the year where we didn't have the cash flow working to where we could actually not have that fundraiser. I'm sorry, that was a little bit long-winded.
The website income, the actual show, no website income in 2014, is that an error?
It's not an error. It's just that we didn't break it apart. In other words, in our FileMaker Pro system, it's all the sales were booked together. And then this year we broke them apart for web versus phone call sales and other kinds of sales.
So under what line would they have appeared in previous years?
In previous years, it would have been under sales to Non-Pacifica 5710.
Yeah, it's 560 on the spreadsheet.
Yeah, 16 on the spreadsheet, sorry.
Okay, so it's still an increase of $6,000.
Right.
Because your budget hasn't changed from your actual on line 5710.
Right. I think that we're going to project the same sales for non-website because we're increasing our visibility, particularly with the NHPRC grant. And then we're also putting just a, for the website, $4,500 was our budget, and we came in at zero. Shit. Oh, I'm sorry. I've cussed on the line. Oh, dear. All right. I have to get back to you on that, Brian. I know that Mariana and I worked it out to break it apart, and I will have to get those numbers to you. I'm sorry. But we're aware of it.
You're not double budgeting it.
Right. I understand the point. I thought we worked that out, but I have to go back and look again. Website income 6,000. Last year, zero. But the sales were...
And then on the grants line, you've got 91,000. How much of that is already committed?
91,000. When you say committed, what do you mean? You mean that it's an actual grant we've been awarded?
How many do you already have a signed grant agreement for? How many of those dollars?
Oh, all of them. So the 91,418 is the remainder of the NHPRC National Archives grant funds.
Got it. And the 37,000 in 2014, is that out of the same grant?
Right. That was year one of the same grant. Plus, I think there were some Grammy funds in there, too, because I thought the 128. Yeah, the whole grant is 128, so 91 plus 37 is 128-ish. Yes, that's right.
And is that cash that you already have or that they'll be dispersing under the terms of a grant agreement?
Yeah, I'm dispersing under the terms of the grant agreement. Basically, we report every 3 months financial, proving our financial match and what we have spent. And then when we request money, we have to request it in three-month periods with reimbursement plus 60-day advance. So it's a little bit of both.
Okay. Other folks with questions?
Michael Levick.
I've got Michael. Who else?
Raul?
Go ahead, Mike. I've got Michael, then Raul. Go ahead, Michael.
I was wondering about the credit card expenses. Are you using the call service also? And if so, does that reduce the credit card, or does it add some expense for the phone drive?
Right. Yeah. No. We haven't done the phone call service. You know, we run the phone rooms ourselves down at KPFK, but we're considering it for the November drive. But those credit card fees are mostly for those donations during the fund drive days.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the other question I had, because I don't have enough memory, I can have my computer open up two of these at the same time. I'm wondering how your figures for sales to Pacifica stations correspond to the station's plans for PRA premiums.
Right. Actually, the number in our budget is supposed to come from the station's budget and or match it. But since we haven't gotten the station's numbers yet, we're basing those on previous years. And then we'll adjust it when we get the new number.
Okay. Thank you. That's it.
Brian, do you have catch-up payments for the pension plan in here?
No. I think the amount for our catch-up plan for 2012 was $5,000, and Marianne, we better put that in, Chet and Twee. Okay. Thank you, Brian.
Well, and then you'll have one for 2013 as well.
Right.
Raul, you're next.
Hi, Brian.
Hi.
Hi. My question is on the personal cost. I just wanted to clarify those numbers because I'm trying to compare it with my estimates. And last year, it looks like you have budgeted $432,000 in there, and then you end up with about $444,000 total. And that's merely because of the first of all, on that budget, you had, on the last year's budget, you had that 3% increases for your employees, plus about a 3 months' worth of the temporary employee. So that's why, but you never really implemented the 3%, but you retained the employee for the rest of the year. That's why you kind of end up almost on budget because of that. The actual levels, the status quo basically was that of the FY 2013. If you have to look at that, maybe another $5,000-$10,000 on increased rates of benefits. So your payroll is actually going up from about 420 to 430,000, and that's including the additional employee that you have that you're going to retain for the rest of the year. You mentioned that this will be funded by something else, by another funding?
Well, we're working on – well, I've already received $5,000 towards matching the NHPRC, which would include this person. And we're also doing work – October 2nd, I'm doing a live event at the Feminist Majority, a fundraiser, and then we're also doing research and development on foundations and other grant organizations, not the kind of grants that require work and extra effort and extra staff, but the grants that are more discretionary and can do matching funds. It's with good hopes that we could fund that, but even without doing the extra work for discretionary funds, it looks like we're covered. And I also want to do note that, you know, this is just this year alone. Next year we'll be able to reduce the personnel costs $32,000 because the grant will be over. But also I do want to sort of note that, you know, retaining her this year has enabled us to work with the American Archive at the Library of Congress to make accurate the descriptions of the programs from the American Archive grant a few years ago, and then we were also able to complete the California Audiovisual Preservation Project, preserving about 100 recordings, and that was no cash coming in, but it was the services of the digitization that we did. But we wouldn't be able to have done it if we didn't have that cataloger here on staff to do the actual metadata work and all the, you know, the archivey work. So it was a positive. It actually helped us raise money that we would otherwise not be able to raise or pay for.
My concern is you reflected also that reduction of the business manager. That's about a $15,000 savings that I thought would be utilized to kind of reduce some of the central services that we are going to be billing the station in 2015. And that's why we're trying to help out. That idea kind of came from the national office to augment the budget of, or at least reduce the budget, the cost for PRA, so that we'll be able to demonstrate some kind of accountability as a PRA. But unfortunately, we are not seeing that saving, the cost cutting that we have proposed, and that's being reallocated back into an additional employee. With that, I also noticed that some of the revenues were, like in your line 7, listener support, you have budgeted $225,000 versus $250,000 that you already have on the books. So there's a decrease on both sides. What's the? And I know it's probably the number of days that you plan to reduce that. Where I don't see any reduction on the central services as a result of these cuts. So we're just reallocating basically, essentially the cuts, the reduction, and resulting in the same level of central services expected from the radio station. How do you think we could propose to reduce central services so we don't have to be relying on the radio stations on on a regular basis?
Right. Right. I think this is where we have the disagreement, Raul. You know, one, the central services numbers in this budget are only based on last year's. We're waiting for you to give us the actual numbers based on 2.5% from four of the stations and 2% for KPFT. That's what the board has is policy. That's the financial policy, and that's what I'm running with. We've understood from the last finance meeting that you were coming up with a flat fee rate based on a rolling something that I still have yet to hear from. So until I get the final central services numbers, then I can't go back and then fiddle with the budget. Right now I'm presenting the budget with a $30,000 surplus that can be the wiggle room for central services. But at this moment, in growing the archive staff and infrastructure of this unit over the past 15 years, dear sirs and kind ladies, it has been that reason that we've been able to get the grant from the National Archives, because they have standards that we have to adhere to. And without the staff that I'm proposing to put into this grant this year and into this budget, we won't be able to complete the grant. So that's why this budget is this way with the personnel costs. The PRA staff is not being offered a 3.3% cost of living increase as the union staff are. So I'm very comfortable and confident with this budget. I've been doing the archives budgets for 15 years. I've been doing the archives fund drives for 10 years. I've been doing all the development, and I'm comfortable with what we can do as long as the stations can do their job.
So basically, you're saying that you're open to kind of analyzing the central services the way we did with the national office, and maybe have that proposed on your budget so that you could possibly adjust based on that.
Yeah, I mean, we definitely want a realistic number, but we also don't want to set a precedence from my desk to give the stations a discount on central services, which is the board policy. For me, at my job, at my responsibilities, I know 2.5%. We're working with KPFT as an incentive program because they did pay all their central services last year to reduce theirs by a 0.5. But until the board takes it up to say the foundation can't afford the archives and we have to find another way, this is what I'm presenting. And, of course, we do a lot to help the stations raise money. The premiums that we provide for the stations raised the network on a whole over $450,000 last year. So, yes, I'm open to analyze it quarterly with everybody. You know, we have to do that anyway for cash flow and to plan and make alternatives. But I'm also working already outside of the box to look for funding that would offset some of the central services that may not come in just because they're not there. But I certainly don't want to set the precedence in the budget without board approval, full board approval.
Well, Brian, we're the committee that makes financial recommendations to the board. So this is the avenue to board approval. And what we did with central services for the national office was we based them on need to close the gap in its budget rather than a fixed amount that it would then figure out how to spend. And I hope you appreciate the situation that the network's in. You know, we took a hit of more than $1 million a year when we lost CPB funding. As a network, you know, since our peak income before the 2008 financial crisis, we've lost $6 million a year in income. That's a third of what we used to have. And every single station has cut at least a third of its staff in that time. And, you know, the archive is the only place in the network that hasn't shrunk. You have more staff in this budget than KPFT has to run its entire station. So I hope you don't take offense when folks at the national office who are struggling to figure out how to fund benefits and payroll because cash is so tight in the network are asking you to look at savings.
Yes, I do understand the situation in the network. Believe you me, I'm actually making calls through my Rolodex to raise money for the insurance and payroll almost every 2 weeks. So I do appreciate it to the degree that I am raising the money to make it work. In terms of the budget, again, if you want to recommend to the board that the archives needs to shut down or cut the staff in half, or you just come up with a number, then we have to work again to figure out how we can actually this year and this year alone make sure we do the work with the NHPRC grant. That's the given. If we don't do that, it's bad news. If we don't get the grant done, so we could cut services. In other words, if you want to cut premiums to the stations, we can cut two employees or one employee. It really is like there's nobody to cut from this staff that's not related to the grant or services to the stations that actually make money to make that work. So it's sort of like at this point with the grant responsibility and the responsibility to the stations, you guys have to tell me which one to cut.
Barbara with a comment.
Go ahead, Barbara.
Well, I think we're into a very sticky subject right now. It's true the archives do a wonderful service, but in fact, I think that the foundation needs to examine whether or not we can support a side business like this with it being planned to grow when there are services available for converting some of our old recordings for at no cost. We had an opportunity to have a lot of work done by Stanford University, and there would be the recordings still available to the public and to us. And apparently, I don't know what happened to that topic, but it was stopped. And so I think there is a real serious question as to whether or not the Pacifica Foundation can support a big business that isn't creating radio. I'm not saying that we don't need archives. We certainly do. But I'm not sure that they have to all be centered in a business that we are funding. That's the end of my comment.
I guess I should respond. You know, there's a lot of reasons for the archives to remain within the foundation. I don't really know much about the Stanford offer. Honest to God, I heard wind of it, but nobody certainly approached me to be part of the discussion. We have been at this point over the years to where we were concerned that the foundation couldn't afford the archives. So, you know, who actually does the best work to come up with the next option, meaning working with Stanford University or George Washington University or the University of Texas in Austin, or maybe one or two other universities that have the ability to do what we do and to do the work that we know should be done. But since nobody came to me, I can't really respond to that.
Okay, anyone else for Stack on this budget?
Our Paul for a fast comment.
Go ahead, Our Paul.
Yeah, I think that PRA is one of those very valuable things because they have an interest in Pacifica and what Pacifica does and has done. And yeah, we have certainly have our serious financial problems, but I think we need PRA in there because a lot of the stuff that Pacifica has done over the years, when it's done, it's not necessarily valued. And then 20 years later, wow, it's historic. So I think we really do need to have PRA in there, preserving things that I think not a lot of other places will value enough to think they need to put the effort in to try and preserve things. And I know about dealing with old open reel tapes with many edits in them, and I'm glad PRA is there. That's all.
Well, hopefully, and this is the point of a budgeting exercise, there is a middle ground between not having PRA and having PRA more expensive than some of our radio stations.
This is Barbara with a comment when you have a chance.
So, folks, I want to caution us against straying into, you know, kind of broad strategic questions. We're here to discuss a budget. You know, we're here to look at that budget because every budget benefits from more eyes, to see if there are things in here that we think are unrealistic or if there are things in here that we think are not prudent. I don't think the Finance Committee is where a conversation about closing the archive starts or ends. Although, if someone wanted to initiate that conversation, we could certainly weigh in on the financial impacts. Go ahead, Barbara.
Well, I don't want to belabor the point, but because our Paul took my statement to mean that I wanted to get rid of the archives, I just want to state that's not what I was saying at all. And the agreement that was somehow in the wind with Stanford in our area did not, it was still going to be directed by the people here as to what would be recorded. Nobody was giving an outside entity the choice to decide what was important to save. So I am not advising that we get rid of the archives at all. I'm just questioning whether we want it to grow into such a big business, and that we have the opportunity to take advantages of services in each local area, perhaps, that would be directed by Pacifica people.
Anyone else in the CRA budget? I've got Michael. Who else?
Raul again.
I've got Michael and then Raul. Who else? Go ahead, Michael.
Okay, so the within the context of this budget, what Brian has put in for essential services, for shared services income, is $240,000, which is approximately what it was in actual last year. I don't know what the actuals were for 2013. You just have the budget for 2013, but I'm assuming probably something comparable. So I'm wondering how that corresponds to what, if we looked at a prorated figure off the average that listen support idea, what was the dollar amount that would have come to? Less than $240,000?
What, again?
That's a Raul question.
Oh, what percentage is that?
I'm saying, the $240,000, how does that correspond to a percentage of overall listen support?
Right? Based on the average that we use, that would be 2.3%.
Yeah, so
2.3%. And, okay, that's the answer.
That's a little less than it has been. There was some objection, here at losing our discount for 1% off the, I'm talking about KPFK, get a 1% discount on the National Central Services because we host the archives. But I do think the archives are valuable, and if the difference is $10,000 or something between what we were thinking about and what they're asking for, I think we should just come up with a percentage that, is pretty close or that works out. The other thing I think is that I know that KPFK was intending to increase the amount of purchases in the archives for premiums. So, again, that's not on Brian. We haven't gotten our budget together, but I think there might be some other places to make up a little bit of difference between the $240,000 figure and, what we have been talking about. I mean, it's a marginal difference.
Yeah. This is Brian, and I just want to caution on that, and I say this as someone who's a programmer and a fundraiser. We don't decide ahead of time what premiums to use. We put things on the air, and when they're raising money, we start repeating them.
Sure.
And when we put on something from the archives and it does well, we are more of it, but we can't just decide, hey, we're going to spend twice as much on archives premiums this year, because if we commit to that and they're fundraising at half the rate that something else is, we're just sabotaging our fund drives.
Mm-hmm.
I think spending on archives premium has to be forecast based on trend, not good wishes, good intentions.
Okay.
Raul, I had you after Michael.
Okay, well, just segueing into what Michael just said about that 2.3%. Right now, this budget is showing about $29,000 in surplus, and there's another $6,000 in depreciation that would be added back to this. So there's about $35,000 surplus in cash here. The same way that we did with the National Office Central Services, if that $35,000 is put back as a reduction to the $240,000, you're looking about $205,000 money that PRA would be needing. Assuming that all the expenses and the revenue you all agree with, there's going to be a $35,000 reduction to just have a balanced budget with PRA, and that would probably bring us to about a 2% rate, and that would probably demonstrate accountability and demonstrating fiduciary sharing the cost savings or to the radio stations, and I think the radio station would really appreciate a lesser amount, but with a caveat that the radio station must adhere to those monthly fixed expenses if we have to implement something like that, because what we don't want is the unpredictability of a percentage of a certain revenue, and then on top of that, the radio station won't be you know, committing to paying that on a regular basis. So that's kind of like a trade-off. We could probably demonstrate responsibility or accountability in BRA by doing the balanced budget based on the surplus or, you know, on expenses and revenue. And then, but at the same time, I mean, a commitment from the radio stations after we establish that, and that's the, kind of the same method we use at the national office. But first and foremost, we also need to kind of look into these budgeted expenses and revenue and see if it makes sense as well.
Anyone else on the PRA budget? We are approaching the end of our time for this item. So I want to flag a few things that came up during our discussion that I think we need to tighten the budget figures before we can do the assessment Raul has suggested on fixing the station's making the station's contribution to PRA a fixed expense. The first is, Brian, you have to look into the web income and what was it, sales income, to make sure
the web
budget
right.
is $6,000 there.
Right, after the pension. Sorry.
The second is your cash budget needs to reflect the pension catch-ups. The third, and I'm glad Raul flagged it, our budgeting policy is a little different this year from the past couple. The depreciation amount, because it's not actually cash out of your pocket, we want you to zero it out under cash and capital. And Raul can follow up with you about how to show that in your budget. But it would basically be a positive amount equal to your depreciation in the cash and capital section. So it will add to your bottom line.
Got it.
And, you know, I'll just reiterate my concern. If Raul is right that you're taking the savings from sharing your business manager position and adding another staff position, you know, every budget we've looked at so far has cuts in it at the station level. And that's just making me grit my teeth.
Right. I totally understand.
We're not certain that we're going to be able to make payroll and benefits for the employees we already have in the network.
So. Well, I don't know if that's a I understand your concern, and believe you me, Brian, I have the same concern. We have done the work to go to universities to see what the possibility was of somebody taking over the receivership of the grants, of taking over the archives, but ensuring accessibility and that they would actually have the funds to do the kind of work that needs to be done within a very short time period. You know, the stuff is deteriorating and all of that. So it's sort of like I guess I'm waiting for a directive or a recommendation to, you know, either choose to let go the grant, call the National Archives and say, I'm sorry, we can't do this. Or again, like we cut services and then we let everybody know no premiums will be available this year. I don't know what to say. I think I've shaved enough expenses off as I could, and then
you're saying you can't drop a position without becoming either ineligible for your grant or unable to fulfill premium requests from stations?
Right.
But it's a position that you're adding in this budget.
The position that's added in this budget is directly related to the NHPRC Women's Grant to get that completed this year.
Got it.
Question, but
Wait a minute. Let me actually highlight why that position is sort of new to this budget. When we applied in 2013 to the NHPRC, the way the activities and the match and the budget worked out was that I could not put that position into the grant funding because the archives didn't have enough money to match it. So we had to take out that position completely from the application because the archives couldn't hire that position on staff to say that we could match it because we weren't assured that the grant would come through. So we did have the need for this position, but at the time of application, we wouldn't have hired them on the archives, and we couldn't have put them in the budget for the grant because we didn't have the match to match it. So that's where we are with this $32,000 person to do the cataloging, which is listening to 2,000 recordings Okay, so maybe 1,500 with the other staff supporting her. But listening to the recordings in their entirety, doing the research and updating the information so that it's accurate to academe and that it matches vocabulary for the public broadcasting code of record entry and can be read by other databases. It's not just digitizing a recording and getting a CD from it. There's more to it than that.
So the position goes away when the grant period ends?
That's correct.
And the grant period is the end of the upcoming fiscal year?
Right, September 30th.
And how much is the grant?
The grant, it's a two-year project. The grant funds is $128,000, and then the match has to be 50% or more. So it's a $150,000 match, I believe, and the majority of that is in full-time archivist position, 30% of another archivist, 20% of our production coordinator, and then I think 20% of me, the director.
So that's you just allocating staff time you already have.
Right, right. That was the match of saying, like, yes, we have the people to do the work of this grant. Basically, the money that the NHPRC is giving us is to do the actual digitization of the tape, which gets shipped to Philadelphia. And I think, $128,000 divided by about $1,700, it's about $100 per tape. I think I did that math wrong, so stop, erase that.
Okay. That's all in your tapes restoration line, $66.99?
Right.
Okay. So the grant's coming in, but it's not paying for the extra position.
Right.
It's paying for the tapes restoration.
Right.
But in order to secure the money for the tapes restoration, you're saying you have to add an extra position.
Right. To complete the performance objectives and the deliverables, which is, creating 2000 EAD records, which means cataloging them properly according to the library standards. The information that we're getting back is more information than we've ever gotten or had about any recording. And having them permanently housed at UC Berkeley and accessible to researchers and scholars everywhere forever is very valuable, particularly when a development director needs to go and get big money for the foundation and the network. When they were able to say that this network has an archive that is of this quality and is of this value, it's very important to donors. It's very important to the affiliate program, too. I know many of the affiliate stations affiliate because of the access to the archive.
All right, and I appreciate, the objective value of the work. We concern ourselves with the finances, and unfortunately, financially, a grant that makes us spend more money out of our own pocket than we were spending already on pure financial grounds is a bad thing for the network's bottom line. I don't know what to do about that now since the grant agreement signed, but you can't reallocate other existing staff positions to perform those functions?
No. The cataloging is actually required with a degree in a Master's of Information and Library Sciences. The production coordinator is doing the tape, the tape assessments. We actually have to take the tape, open up the box, and do a tape assessment inspection. And the project coordinator, production coordinator, and myself, and the second archivist does that work, as well as the packing and the shipping and the inventorying and the quality, the control of the CDs and the files when they come back. So when you say allocate, I'm thinking, who would I get rid of to then allocate the duties to somebody else? It just doesn't work. Certainly not on this call and off the top of my head, but certainly I've been thinking about it in detail in working this budget and working all the activities that must be done, and that's where we are.
Well, I'll give it some thought. It's something you're going to have to wrestle with if any of the other income numbers don't come out or one of these fund drive tanks.
Right. Well, I understand that, even with the NHPRC, I have to report to them quarterly because Pacifica Network, even 2 years ago, could barely pass the financial capability form. So they were concerned enough to say, rather than reporting once at the end of the grant, two-year grant, you have to report every 3 months. That's pretty much where we are. I have to
analyze where we are and if we can meet the match of the NHPRC. So quarterly with the grant and quarterly with our budget, we'll have to do the analysis and move forward or move backward.
This is Barbara with a question.
Go ahead, Barbara.
I just want to confirm, Brian, did you say that you're splitting the cost of your business manager so that the archives is paying 75% of the salary and the station pays 25%? Is that what you said?
Right, right. It's been split with KPFK, whose business manager hasn't been trained or oriented yet to the activities, which is causing some trouble, as we heard in the beginning of the call with Sue Berry. And, of course, and the archives business manager has been with the network for 37 years and is very well-versed in all things Pacifica finance. All right. Anything further on this budget, folks?
This is Raul. Just wanted to kind of clarify something.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, it looks like the revenue side, the increase of revenue is about $50,000, and that is possibly a treat. It's because as a result of that $91,000 grant, which is a $60,000 increase. If without that, you'll probably be like projecting on the apples to apples kind of comparison, the same amount of revenue from 2014. You're showing $400,000, and then you know the increase of $50,000 was mainly due to that increase in the grant. So basically, but in addition to that, you're also increasing the expenses on by that $45,000, $15,000 in the development, and then on the FAPE's restoration, another $30,000. So basically, this budget does not really show any growth or any cuts in expenses from year to year. And that's kind of like my concern. We have not really done any kind of effort to work on this budget, but you know it's something to probably consider and maybe a little bit more dialogue on the actual what recommendations we can provide you.
Okay, I'm not quite sure what that meant, Raul. But I think you mean that you need more. I've worked very hard on this budget, so I know you haven't worked on the budget, but I have. And to raise revenue, in other words, so my goal into this budget was to reduce the on-air fundraiser days and to be more realistic with central services. So in order to do that, I had to put something into development. The archives has had almost no development expenses in our budget for years. Because we don't have it. You know, we're not a radio station. We don't have the resources that the stations do. So I'm trying to introduce development to create other revenue streams to reduce the dependency on the stations, both as the on-air fundraisers, but also in central services. So if you look at the three categories of administrative, programming, and development, you know, if you look at development and start cutting the expenses in development, then you go back up and you cut all the revenue that it tries to relate to. Then you go back into programming, and then you look at those expenses, and you cut those, and then you realize those are related to revenue also, and revenue at the station level. And again, the 400, you know, this year we actually made more money for the stations than it cost. We raised $450,000 at the station level, and we've only been paid central services $127,000 this year, not the $240,000. So we actually do make money for the network. It just doesn't show in this budget because the value of the premiums at 90% increase, you know, the 10% rule, is never reflected. It's never broken out in the station's budget.
Yeah, it's also hard to quantify the opportunity cost. In other words, how much the stations would have raised using other premiums. It's not money that's raised out of thin air.
Right, but it's also money that stays within the organization. It doesn't go to a third-party vendor, and that's a plus.
I would encourage you to continue this dialogue offline to have an accurate framework for figuring out what that surplus is and what we can adjust the archives assessment down to. We're going to need you to work on the things I itemized earlier, Brian. Do you have a good list, or do you need
No, I have the web and sales income, the pension, and the cash, the zeroing out the cash and capital. And then we'll wait for
zeroing out depreciation under cash and capital.
Okay. Sorry, depreciation under cash. We'll wait for Raul to work with me on the central services formula. I've invited Raul to come down and meet with all the staff to understand what activities they do so we know what we're cutting if we end up having to think about cutting. And or Margie,
Okay. And I would suggest you give some serious thought if priority is maintaining eligibility for that grant, how you can do it with less money to spend, because we are one bad fund drive away from being in that situation. There is not a dollar in reserve or a dollar to spare anywhere in the network. There's about $6 million in unpaid bills.
Right.
All right.
That's sort of the situation I came in 1999 when I came into this organization, and luckily we were able to work ourselves out of it, and that's when we actually started the fundraisers for the archives. So, yes, after 15 years, we're back at the same stage, but we were already doing the on-air fundraisers. So, again, my work is to find money outside of the network, and I'm doing my best to do that.
All right, great.
Hopefully in a few months we can see some results of that and know what to do next.
Great. Get us to revise budget as soon as we can. We need to move on. So thank you so much for your time, and enjoy bowling night, Brian.
Thanks.